Be curious. Don't just accept at face value just because there's a standard or a formula. Just think about, what does it mean? Sometimes there's assumptions and limitations which are not explicitly covered.
Kia ora, I'm Troy, here as Chief Executive, and welcome to Stirring the Pot. Thanks for connecting. If you're new, here's what you can expect. We're going to be talking the tough stuff, the things that keep us middle minds up at night. There are many challenges facing our industry and equally many opinions on how we should tackle them. Stirring the Pot provides a facilitated forum to discuss and challenge these viewpoints.
So let's get to the nuts and bolts of it. Today we are talking with Jeff Bird, who is this year's recipient of the Hera Foundation Keith Smith Memorial Award for distinguished service to Aotearoa New Zealand's metals industry. Join us as he chats with our Executive Board Chair, Craig Stevenson, on his career pathway towards his acknowledgement and everything in between.
Welcome, Jeff. For listeners' information, Jeff has a background in structural engineering and has worked in many roles over his career, including a site engineer, building designer, researcher, and software developer. Jeff, can you tell us a bit about yourself, particularly your early career?
Afternoon, Craig. Thank you. So just to go back to early years, I grew up on a small farm in a small town down in a little place called Waimate, South Canterbury. But I was always a creative person, and as a kid, always making stuff, even before I was allowed to use power tools and so on. But then that went into go-karts and lots of stuff. So I guess I always enjoyed working with making things, whatever material it was. At school, I enjoyed the maths and the physics, the STEM type subjects. And then when I left there, I went to Dunedin and I did a New Zealand Certificate of Engineering. That's a polytech cadetship type course. That was 4 years. Including working for Downers, pretty much full time for that. And then at that stage, one could go do your BE, go straight into the third year. So I did my BE in 2 years at University of Canterbury, Christchurch. Probably moving on to my early career, I was with Downers and Dunedin, as I mentioned, precast yard and small commercial projects. And then after I graduated, went to the Pātia Hydro. I was there for a couple of years. It was an interesting project, about $60 million, I think, back in those days. But it was big enough. There was quite a lot going on, from the powerhouse, which I had responsibility for, the dam and the intake structure. But it was also small enough, and lots of earthworks. It's small enough you could keep your finger on what was going across the board, so that was pretty neat.
So you moved from there to Auckland after completion of that project?
Or? Not quite. I decided to go and do an OE. As you'd appreciate, construction was fairly long hours, sort of 50, 60 hours a week. So I decided to take some OE, and I went over to North America and Europe and Africa and so on. So I had quite a good time. And although this was certainly not in my plans, I met a girl in California, and long story short, we married in May 85. So that was when I returned to Auckland. Actually, I was returning to Dunedin because I had a couple of jobs tentatively lined up there. But travelling through Auckland, spent a few days, and of course you could hardly see the sky for cranes. There was a lot of construction activity going on. I had three job interviews and two job offers, and one of those I figured was too good to turn down. So anyway, I went down the South Island to introduce my wife to the family and so on, and 2 weeks later I was back in Auckland working for home. So yeah, it's been great. There's been certainly opportunities, career opportunities here that I wouldn't have seen elsewhere. So that was my travel to Auckland.
Oh, excellent. And you were homes for how long?
A couple of years with homes.
Yes.
And then I joined Smith Lucas, which later merged into Conor Wagner, now Oricon, a couple of years there. And then that was sort of, what was it, the 89 crash, 87 crash? I forget. There was a crash around then. And then after a while, I joined New Zealand Steel.
I think it's where we first met at Smith Lucas or Rackett Hill. We both worked for that company, right? I think you were Auckland-based, I was Wellington-based.
Yes.
And the only time we got to work together, when we were both seconded to Brisbane.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, I don't know that I met you when I was at Smith Lucas, but certainly at Oricon. Yep. And those, and each company had its different strengths and so on, and it was good going from the construction and then into the design scene and different companies. And one thing I will comment, and enjoyed all of the companies, but certainly back those days, concrete was pretty dominant, reinforced concrete, multi-story buildings in particular. But I do remember homes were pushing the boat out a bit. And I think there was a building on City Road, and there was at least two or three that homes were pushing the and the design guidance for structural steel design, both in terms of seismic resisting systems and also composite floor systems, was pretty weak, not very strong. So I really take credit to Holmes for pushing and starting some of that change.
So your move from a consultancy to New Zealand Steel was prompted by the share market crash?
Or? The reason I joined, no, not really. Yes, there was some days when I was with Conall Wagner when we were on reduced hours. Certainly there had been a reduction in headcount and I was down to 2 or 3 days a week, I think, the way things were. And then there was a change of staff there at Conall Wagner, and there was this job that came up at New Zealand Steel, and it was to take responsibility for a program called STELDES, meaning steel design. So that was the reason I was employed there, and of course with my software bent, that sort of worked out pretty well. So that was the reason I joined New Zealand Steel. And I spent 2 or 3 years on STELDES. There was some neat aspects of that and some facets that have not actually been brought into steel design software these days. But sadly, the company didn't really deliver, so that was eventually disbanded.
So how did your connections with HERA and steel construction design come about and continue through your career following this stint at New Zealand Steel?
Yeah, I guess it was from early days. It was actually Charles that originally persuaded New Zealand Steel at the time to actually do the STELDES program, and certainly I was working with Charles in those days. But of course, with the demise of STELDES, and one comment I would like to make is that back in those days, New Zealand Steel was the agency for the One Steel. That's the UBs, UCs, etc. out of Australia. So they got a commission for doing that work. And I must say they were very generous at pretty much spending most of that commission, you know, for the good of New Zealand Inc. And the STELDES role was largely to do with STELTEC plus the wider. But then we continued on, and there was a whole range of things, and then New Zealand Steel funded R476, which was very ably produced by Martin Feeney. This was the early day. In fact, it was really before SCNZ. It was the forerunner of SCNZ. So Martin Feeney, with support from Charles, wrote R476, which was now providing a design process for multi-story buildings, moment resisting frames, EBFs and CBFs. And I guess that was mostly done prior to my time getting involved so much in industry things, but there was a whole bunch of things that sort of came up from SCNZ was now in place and they did an estimating guide. I was bugging Charles about 3404 in 1997, because I was starting to write memdes by this stage. And when you're writing software, things have to be really clear. And Charles was doing the amendment to 3404, so I was bugging him from a practical perspective. So there was lots of things that I worked with Charles on over the years, including particularly that 3404 revision. There was the Hibon design wizard, which someone here at HERA wrote. I got involved with that. R458 restraint classifications. Again, I was bugging Charles on this from a practitioner perspective. I was trying to make it more readable and digestible for the average practitioner. So, yeah, I worked with Charles closely through a lot of those years.
Yeah, you certainly were involved in a lot of industry initiatives there. And at this stage, you're still with New Zealand Steel, and they no issues or about that sort of level of involvement? Did that impact?
Oh, they actively wanted me to be involved, and certainly while I was involved somewhat in the Steltech side of things, John Frederickson was much closer on mm-hmm. that. But I was involved in SCNZ on the management committee or the group, whatever it was. I was also on CSOC. A colleague from Becker had kind of roped me in there, so I was spending some time on industry side of things. And I guess that was where the thought came about MEMDES and the Simplified Steel Design Guide, because what I was hearing was there was a lot of engineers that were not comfortable with designing structural steel. They'd been taught well reinforced concrete, and that was very much the dominant material. But structural steel was another ball game. It had now come from working stress to limit state. And they're struggling to understand some of the basics. So that was the reason, largely, I wrote a Simplified Steel Design Manual, very ably assisted by Martin Feeney. And I wanted something that would espouse the basics within limitations, but then go on to produce wider designs and be a soft intro, if I could put it that way, into the steel standard 3404.
Yeah, the Simplified Design Guide was widely distributed. I recall in the companies I work with, people had copies on their desk. But what I always felt was a great program was MEMDES, right? I've used it right through my career.
Yes.
And we've continued to use it. And I've always thought that was an excellent standalone program for structural steel design.
Mm. Yes, just on the Simplified Steel Design Manual, there's still copies around, and people often come to me and I say they're still referring to that, and there's just been a recent move. It needs to be updated in line with recent standards. So it's certainly around, and we provided it free to all the CSOC members of the time. It's now free to CSOC members via a download, and I also presented that to both Canterbury and some to Auckland graduates. But moving on to MEMDES, I did really the MEMDES and the Simplified Steel Design Guide in parallel. And it was really a similar flavour to provide a tool to help the average practitioner to design structural steel more efficiently, to help them understand. And as part of the Steldes suite, I got to meet a number of people. We tried to turn that around and get an equivalent to Steldes from some other people. And there was a company from the UK, and they had some really neat graphics in their program. And that was one of the bases that I had. I tried to make MEMDES so you could understand, you know, with the load height restraint and twist restraint and various things. So as well as a fundamentally simple tool, I tried to bring in the educational aspect too. Mm-hmm.
But then you got involved in composite floors, metal tray deck systems.
Yes, I did. and I'll go back to my early days at Steltech there, because with my time, I was based at Steltech, latterly at New Zealand Steel, but it was sort of a cross. And Steltec was making a product, I think it was called Floorspan. There was about four products at the time, a couple of trapezoidal, a couple of flat soffit, but they're only about 55 mil deep. And I don't think any of them could span even 2.5 metres unpropped. So that was a bit of a problem. And we compare that with precast, and of course we've got the planks and the hollow core and double T's, and those span 4 to 14 metres, and far beyond that, there's basically no design effort in those, whereas composite would only span this minimal distance. So I had this kind of vision, if we could only get something that was far better, far more economical, better spanning capability. And so that was always on my mind. And then I found out about this product out of the UK called ComFloor 210. So it's a deep deck trapezoidal. I think it could go up to maybe 5 or 6 metres. It was a bit specialist, as we found out. But over several years, I bugged and courted particularly Steve Stickland from Chorus New Zealand and also his boss, Malcolm Keane. And eventually they bit the bullet and quite bravely manufactured a roll former and started producing that in New Zealand, using New Zealand steel product, of course. So that product was a bit niche. It didn't actually take off as well as we'd expected, but of course Steve had got the bit between his teeth, and in the UK they had this ComFloor 60 and ComFloor 80, and Steve got hold of those. I think he's actually made some input into design to actually improve the performance, and long story short, Steve brought that out to New Zealand. And of course, a big change in market share once the flooring system was really opened up. And of course, there's competitor products there, and that's really great too. So yeah, it was pretty interesting to see that, you know, a wholesale change in the spanning capabilities of those composite floor decking systems.
So after all that effort, you moved on from New Zealand Steel and that sector and moved to another consultancy.
Yes.
What is that role, and what has your focus been, both internally at this consultancy and your industry contributions?
Sure. So just to close out on the New Zealand Steel chapter, One Steel, as it was then, actually decided they were going to market in New Zealand, so they took the agency and the commission away from New Zealand Steel. So New Zealand Steel, not producing heavy structurals themselves, decided they weren't going to continue that. And I also went off and did my own thing. I did some software development for 6 months, but that was really the rationale beyond me leaving New Zealand Steel. And then I was offered a job with Becker, which I've been very happy with. So in 2004, I joined Becker, and my role was and is technical development. I haven't been involved, well, I've been involved in some projects. Mostly it's software development, systems, design procedures, that kind of stuff. So a range of things in there, typically with a structural steel bent. But Becker has also been very generous in terms of my time also with Structural Engineering Society, which I have continued with to this day, starting off in about the mid-90s. And on the Becker side of things, so a range of things I've been involved in there, sometimes preliminary design, sometimes software internally. But in terms of the CSOC side of things, I was originally newsletter editor and then treasurer, but around 2010, Esley Forrest, who had written the soils program for CSOC, due to ill health, was unable to continue, so I inherited the software portfolio. And it was just the soils program at that time. But then a little while later, Pacific Steel, who had GenCol, that's a reinforced concrete column design program, came to us and were kind of begging that we would take it over. So yes, we took responsibility for that and have progressed and enhanced that. In the meantime, so I kind of consider MemDes my baby. So I had to leave that.
You can't let that go.
Yeah, I had to leave that behind when I left New Zealand Steel and Steltec. But they didn't have the capability to enhance, and it really perhaps hadn't had the support that I would have liked to have seen. Another story, but long story short, I kind of courted New Zealand Steel and said, we as in CSOC, will take over MemDes, we'll enhance it, we'll support it, and so on. And I think we have very much honoured that commitment. We've spent many thousands of dollars and progressed it considerably beyond what it was originally. And while we have a different printing system at work, I used to regularly see the MemDes printouts on the printer and of the CSOC stable of software, which has grown since. Certainly MemDes is the most popular program. And of course, I'd like to think it is a good program, it's a helpful program, but we made it free when we were at New Zealand Steel, and that was something that I had to really work on the powers to be. And of course, a CSOC, if you're a CSOC member, you get it for free also. So it seems to have been continuing some 25 years later.
Yeah, certainly, that suite of programs are highly valued by our engineers, right? And in some cases, I find that engineers join CSOC to have access to those programs, right? Which is, you know, perhaps not the real reason, but they should do it. But it has been a draw card, and you know, we know our engineers and all our officers have used MemDes, GenCol in particular, some source program, the wall program. There's a range that is commonly used.
When I joined CSOC, I think we're just 300 or 400 members, and then we got 500 or 600. I think Barry Davidson was the president at the time, and his goal was to go to 1,000. And then we're now well over 3,000. But one or two presidents ago, she was asking, why have you joined CSOC? And the common answer was software. So I like to think that we've done something right there.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And I would like just to comment on that one too. There was MemDes. So that is specifically a steel design program, and it's a segment-based design program rather than a member, for those that understand what that means. But I had this concept of MemDes Plus, and this kind of came out from my time at New Zealand Steel, where they, in Australia, they had this light steel design guide for residential, really, you know, beams, channels, etc., across double garages. And that was kind of neat, but it's only limited when it's a hard copy. So I thought, can we do that in software? So that was really the initiation of MemDes, which does the strength, it does the loading, it does the analysis, it does the strength design and the serviceability check, i.e. the deflection checks, all in one tool, and I think it's quite simple and straightforward to drive. And I just envisioned it really across, really for people with the double garage type beam stuff, but that's grown significantly and due to user requests, and we've enhanced that significantly recently, including negative point loads, user-defined moments at the end, and so on. So now you can actually use it for a rafter of a portal frame building with regularly spaced restraints, and it does all the segmentation pretty neat, and I'm not aware of any other program that does that segmentation algorithm on a load case or a load combination specific basis.
The simplicity of use of MemDes is such, I think it's thrown the old span load span tables out the window, right?
Yes. It's great to have load span tables, and you should have that stuff. And we did build some of that into the simplified steel design guide also. The other thing that we are doing, we're moving towards more automation and with digital workflows and so on. So with MemDes in particular, you can drive that via Excel or Grasshopper, Rhino, whatever you want, and use it as an automated calculation engine.
Yes. Yep.
There's a huge amount of effort went into that. It was 6 months, man months work when I originally wrote that, plus verification. Verification has always been very important to me. And of course, a lot of that effort was to do with Steltec and the tapered members and making sure that was robust. But nowadays, you can drive that as a calculation engine on the back of pretty much whatever you want.
Yeah, that's great. Clearly a steel man through and through.
I didn't start off that way. I started off with reinforced concrete. But
so do you have any particular thoughts or observations about structural steel and the use of it in New Zealand?
Yeah, I guess it's interesting. Having sort of come into this area, as I mentioned, I started off with all materials, and particularly reinforced concrete was more the dominant material, both in terms of industry, when I was doing my BE, and so on. And particularly in the early days, and I'm referring to the 80s, steel was not in favour. Yes, for portal frame buildings and industrial, that was really the material of choice. But in terms of multi-story buildings, the understanding was not so good. It was perceived as being difficult to design. And that was part of the reason and rationale behind MemDes and the Simplified Steel Design Guide. And not to diss any other materials. We need all the materials and they're all complementary. But the things I do like about steel, it's isotropic. It's equally good in compression and tension. It's the same pretty much in the three dimensions. It's very versatile. You can do lots of things with it. And of course, we know that it's necessary for reinforced concrete. We need the reinforcing steel for timber structures. We need it for connections and so on. But certainly there were barriers back in the 1980s, and I think there was quite a change. I will jump back to SCNZ, which I was part of, and then I was kind of catapulted into the chair around 99 or thereabouts, I think. And we set ourselves a goal of doubling the multi-story building market share over 5 years, which really was quite a stretch goal. We didn't have very good statistics those days. Nominally, we were around 15, maybe 20% market share of buildings. And largely, I feel we achieved that. And I've kind of reflected on that. And there's kind of a range of things in there. Charles and his design guides, volumes 1 and 2, set out a sound basis for steel design. His design and construction bulletins, which came out, I think, every couple of months, those were very, very helpful. Of course, Charles' general enthusiasm. SCNZ had, at the time, had a free design service, so they were really promoting steel, trying to provide optimal designs. And then there was the estimating guide and the steel connection guide. And I would like to think that perhaps MemDes and the CSOC Simplified Steel Design Guide had some contribution. So it seems to me there was a bit of coming of age around those days. And I'm talking through to the early 2000s. And then when we come through to the Christchurch earthquakes, and of course Christchurch was kind of the concrete capital of New Zealand for reinforced concrete.
Absolutely.
So structural steel, there was a number of structural steel buildings, but they're relatively lower in terms of the percentage compared to reinforced concrete. And there was lots of surprises with the Canterbury earthquakes. But I think overall, the structural steel actually performed very well, and I think that's been a bit of a boon to structural steel in New Zealand too.
Okay, I've got a few final thoughts on your career and some guidance you might give to some of the young engineers coming through.
Yeah, I guess just in terms of my career, it's certainly been a very satisfying career. I'm very grateful for having chosen structural engineering. It's been very good to me, not to say there hasn't been bumps, like there's not always. I'm very grateful for the range of companies I've worked for and gaining the experience. Different companies, both construction and consulting, has been really good. There has been great opportunities offered to me, so I'm grateful for those. But when I reflect, it seems like I actually created some of those too, perhaps the MEMDIRs, and it took me some months to persuade the powers that be at New Zealand Steel that this was going to be a good thing. Simplified steel design guides similarly, and then there was some composite stuff too. But certainly glad to see the growth of structural steel and to perhaps have had a part in that and to have worked alongside those like Charles and Martin and Clark Highland and so on. You mentioned about some thoughts from my career. Yeah, I do. I do have some thoughts, and perhaps they're along the lines of, well, what would I like to tell my 25-year-old self? And I'm actually working on some things, both in Becker and slightly wider, to try and coalesce some things that I've learned over the years for the help and benefit of younger ones. But just some thoughts. Be curious. Don't just accept at face value just because there's a standard or a formula. Don't just accept at face value what that says. Just think about, what does it mean? Sometimes there's assumptions and limitations which are not explicitly covered. Be thoughtful. What if the earthquake is that much bigger than what the code says? And of course, who knows how big an earthquake is? It's a big guess, isn't it? And what is the ultimate limit state or the ultimate failure mode of something? Does it make sense? Does it look right? And it's often good to reflect on a design, to stand back and just try and think of the big picture. Don't be scared to ask. And I asked lots of questions, probably quite annoying to some people, and one person at home who I'm hugely grateful for was really very patient with me. But don't be scared to ask, especially if there's something that you're unsure about. We all have to learn, and it's best from others rather than from our own mistakes is what I'm referring to. If you're passionate about something, go for it. And I guess I was passionate about things, and particularly software. And I guess one thing that does and has driven me is enhancing the profession and helping others. And that's been a bit of a driver behind the Simplified Steel Design Guide, MEMDIRs, and most of those other things. So you can't really do those things without some passion and support, of course. Structurally, load paths. They're crucial to every single thing we design. And I think I've sometimes been brought into stuff where things have gone wrong. And clearly the engineer just hasn't thought about load paths in conjunction with stiffness. Something might have had the strength, but it was just way out in terms of stiffness. Don't rely on the computer program. At the end of the day, they're just a tool, and you must understand and take responsibility for the analysis and the design. And of course, the design all rests on the analysis, so you've got to make sure that analysis is right. Do hand calcs, do your equivalent static, do your estimate of period before you open ETABS or SpaceGas or whatever your tool of choice is. Because if you don't know what you're expecting, how do you know if something that you get out
is wrong and perhaps there's some data error or even perhaps the program. And lastly, and this is, I've had the privilege of working in a large company, and we have regular what we call as firesides, but some of the most memorable sessions that I remember is we would have had sort of a lessons learned, where stuff has gone wrong. And in fact, there was a project where I worked on for quite a long time where it didn't go well for us. And one of the technical directors said to me, he says, "We don't learn anything on the projects that go well." Well, that's a little bit of an indictment, isn't it? But certainly to have a session with seniors where projects have not gone well, internally within your company, of course, although if it can be shared out in the CSOC journal, that's great too, because some of those lessons learned are quite insightful. And mostly they're not down to just one thing. It's often a series of things, a little bit like the Swiss cheese, different things line up. So that's what we don't want to be happening in the structural industry. So anyway, those are just some thoughts from my career. Hope those are helpful.
Thank you, Jeff. And once again, congratulations on the Hera Foundation Keith Smith Memorial Award. This is Hera's most celebrated award that honours Hera's founding chair, Keith Smith, and his endowment left to the Hera Foundation. Jeff has been recognised for his contributions to the growth of the heavy engineering industry in New Zealand, having played an instrumental role in the development of design tools that have enabled practice engineers to feel confident and competent in the design of significant structural steel structures. I'd also just take the opportunity to acknowledge the wife of Keith Smith, Jean Smith, who continues to attend HERA events in the stead of Keith.
So there you go. Thanks for joining our conversation with Jeff today. If you'd like to connect more with him, you'll find his details in the show notes. This was a fascinating opportunity to delve into Jeff's career and understand the significant knowledge transfer and support he has offered to our industry throughout his profession. A special thanks must go out to our sponsor, New Zealand Steel, for making the night such a great success. These awards are integral to spark connection and acknowledge the great work happening in our industry. Food for thought until we see you next time. So hit subscribe, and if you liked what you heard today, please like, review, or share with any metal minds you know. Let's spread the word. If you would like to know more about our industry awards, award categories, and this year's award recipients, you can find details in the show notes.